Monday, and welcome to Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, your host, and as always, I'm glad you have joined us. As you can hear very well in the background, we are in the dining room of the Grand Hotel on Mackinac Island for the Detroit Regional Chamber's annual Mackinac Policy Conference. Now back in the end of the spring in May, after a two-year disruption because of COVID-19. Lots of people very excited to be back on the island together to have conversations about all of the policy issues that swirl around us in Detroit and in the state of Michigan. We are going to spend the week talking to politicians, business leaders, and philanthropic leaders about what they're doing here. Why are they here for these conversations, and what do they hope to take home with them at the end of the week? Our first guest is somebody who's pretty familiar to us on Detroit Today. Gary Peters is a Democrat who represents Michigan in the United States Senate. Gary, welcome back to Detroit Today, and welcome back to Mackinac.
It's great to be here, Stephen, and great to see you face-to-face. We were just talking about that before the program. It's been a while.
I think it has been years, which is weird.
It's really bizarre, considering our paths have crossed frequently prior to the pandemic.
Right. Yes,
so
yes.
It's great to be back.
Yeah, no, it's great to see you. I want to start with guns and gun law reform, I guess, maybe we might call it.
Right.
What happened in Uvalde, Texas, has, I think, more people's attention, and maybe in a different way than before. You have some Republicans now saying that they might entertain the idea of tighter gun regulations. Mitch McConnell talked yesterday about, of course, increasing safety, making things better for children. A package of bills could go through the House this week. They would end up in the Senate. What is your anticipation about the possibility here? What could we get done?
Well, I hope the possibility is there. I've been hoping for a long time that we could find common ground on this issue, especially after these two horrible tragedies back-to-back in New York and Texas. We would hope that would be enough to move forward, but we've been here before as well in the past, and it hasn't happened. But as you mentioned, we've got a group of five Republican senators who are willing to start the discussion. That's a start. Given the rules that we have in the Senate, in order to move forward, we need 60 votes. And I can say my Democratic colleagues all want to see some positive movement forward, so we have 50 votes there.
Yeah.
If we have five in discussion, that gets us the 55, but the math still says we're going to need more. But I hope we can just get something done. You know, everybody has a variety of ideas, and whatever gets done initially is probably not going to, some people aren't going to be happy. The folks want to go further. Other people are going to be unhappy because they don't want to go at all. But that's where we try to find that consensus in the middle and common ground. And, you know, one area that I think we have hopefully the best prospects is with the background checks. Just close some of the loopholes that we have for gun shows and for online purchases. And when I have folks say, well, you know, that may not have had any impact on what happened in Buffalo, for example, and that may be true, but let's put it in perspective, gun violence in this country. Today, as you and I are speaking today, roughly 100 people are going to die of gun violence in America today. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow, when we wake up, another 100 people are going to die. The day after, another 100 people. So whatever we can do, if we're saving some lives, let's do that, and then let's hopefully build on that success and do more in the future. But we have to take some action. We have to do things. And when I say common sense, just making these loopholes go away is supported by, I think it's roughly 90% of the American people.
Yes.
I don't know of any other issue that we're going to be talking about up here that 90% of the American people think this is a good idea.
Yeah. I also want to make it clear to our listeners that you are a supporter of the Second Amendment and the right to bear arms. You're not somebody who's trying to grab guns from people or prevent people from legal ownership. There's a lot of room for people to have discussion about regulation that doesn't amount to infringement on what is an important constitutional right.
Absolutely, Stephen, and I'm glad you bring that up. I'm a gun owner. I believe in the Second Amendment. I enjoy every fall. I love pheasant hunting. That's something that I really love to do. It's part of a Michigan tradition of getting out and hunting and enjoying shooting sports. And And it's not about that. This is about common sense ways to try to limit the kind of violence that we are seeing in this country. And that's why you know I mentioned the 90% support from the public. I think the last survey I saw of members of the NRA, I think it's close to 70% of NRA members believe that these are common sense ways to go. So this should be a mainstream issue. This is things that we should be able to pass.
Yeah. So I want to talk to you about postal reform, and you are maybe the only person I know who likes to talk about postal reform and actually has done something to advance the opportunities, I think, for the post office. I feel like one of the things that's always held it back is there's just kind of shackles on its operations, right? They're not able to compete with similar services because the government doesn't allow the post office to. You recently had a bill passed, a bipartisan Postal Service Reform Act. Talk about what that does and how it frees the post office a little bit.
Well, yeah, we're really pleased we were able to get this done. And this is a bill that was 15 years in the making that no one seemed to be able to come together. And when I took the chairmanship of Homeland Security and Government Affairs, I also oversee the Postal Service through that committee and chairmanship, I said, we're going to get this done. I'm not going to sit around here and have this thing that's been lingering. Again, common sense, you talked about shackles. The Postal Service had to pre-fund all retirement, health care, no matter how old that person was. There's no company in America that does that. There's no government agency in America that does that. Only the Postal Service, which is a huge financial burden for them. And so that and a number of other reforms we were able to put through. And I just focused on what is it that we can all agree on? Because everybody, if you ask anybody, they have all sorts of ideas how to make the Postal Service work better. But not everybody agrees on all those great ideas that people have. So let's just narrow this down to what we can do and what we ended up passing. And I was able to get over 23 co-sponsors over the 10 Republicans to get it through the Senate. And what this means, bottom line, this will save the Postal Service over the next 10 years about $50 billion. That's $50 billion that they can put into faster processing centers and increase efficiency to make sure that we have a Postal Service that we all want, that we rely on to deliver critical drugs and greeting cards and making sure our paychecks get mailed or bills. We want a Postal Service that's healthy and vibrant for as long as we possibly can into the foreseeable future.
Yeah. It's part of the Constitution.
Absolutely.
So we cannot get rid of it.
Absolutely.
We might as well make it successful, right?
Right. There was a reason they put it in the Constitution, because it's part of what binds us. You know, it's the only entity that delivers to every single address in America every day.
Every day. I'm asking everybody this year this next question, and that's, why are you here for the conference? And do you have some goals for the week, things that you want to get done?
Well, this is a great opportunity to be able to see folks really across the spectrum. You mentioned it in your opening, from the business community, the philanthropic community, and have discussions about issues that they care about. And when you hear everybody's from all these different organizations are all here.
In a pretty tight space, too. I think that's hard for people to imagine, right? We cannot get away from each other.
Literally can't. But, you know, we have this magnificent porch here at the Grand Hotel, and you can walk down the porch, and I can have 15 different conversations with 15 different individuals of different backgrounds and organizations. I can't do that in my normal life. It's hard to schedule folks, or Zoom calls is not the same. The kind of interaction you get here, there's no other place that I can have this kind of opportunity to hear. And, you know, when we talk about legislation, we talk about dealing with the problems, I've always found that the best ideas always come from people who are on the ground dealing with these issues every day. And that's who's here up here at the conference. These are folks who deal with tough issues every day, and they have great ideas. And I walk around with my ears wide open and try to do more listening than talking. And a lot can come out of it. And inevitably, when I leave, there are always action ideas.
Yeah. The talking, the conversations, I think a lot of people don't put enough premium on the ability to do that. And the ability to do that with people who you would not see.
Right.
If you were in Washington or if you were in Detroit.
Absolutely.
All right, Gary Peters, always great to have you on the show. Great to see you up here on Mackinac.
Stephen, great to see you. And we'll talk later out and about.
We will.
Take care.
Thanks.